Turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, the second book of the Bible. Book of Exodus, the 17th chapter. Exodus chapter 17. In this chapter, we have a faithful but weary leader whose name was Moses. We have a murmuring and complaining people because of the place they camped. We have a providing God that told Moses exactly what to do. And then we have a battle that was almost lost by Moses. Remember those things. A faithful but weary leader, a murmuring and complaining people, a providing God, and then a battle that was almost lost by Moses. Exodus chapter 17. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord. Now notice that these travels are at the commandments of the Lord. And pitched or camped in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is it that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, and take it in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah, and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Now we're going to pause right here and just give you a few more introductory remarks and then begin the main part of the sermon with verse 8. At the commandment of God, Moses, God's anointed leader, is moving the children of Israel from the wilderness of Sin in the direction that God wants them to go. They come to Rephidim and camp there. And in this particular place, there is no water. Immediately, they began to murmur against Moses. They began to chide God's anointed leader. And Moses warns them that they are not just chiding him, but they are tempting the Lord God Almighty. They continue in their murmuring and complaining and say, "Not only do you want us destroyed, but you want our children destroyed, and you want our cattle destroyed, all of us, because of you, Moses, are going to die of thirst." Moses' heart is smitten. And he cries unto the Lord and says, "What shall I do unto this people? Because they are almost ready to stone me." God said, "Moses, take your rod in your hand. Take some of the elders of Israel with you. And go ahead. And remember, it was this rod that you smote the river when the waters parted. And when you go to this place of Horeb there, you smite the rock, and a miracle will be performed, and water shall come forth, and the children of Israel shall be able to drink." Then in verse 8, the Bible says, "Then came Amalek." And let's remember this man, because Amalek was a descendant of Esau. His father's name was Eliphaz. And Eliphaz had a concubine by the name of Timnah. And Eliphaz went into this concubine Timnah, and Timnah bare to Eliphaz Amalek, a direct descendant of Esau. Let me tell you something else about this man. And you turn in your Bibles to the 25th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, the fifth book in the Bible. Remember, Amalek is a descendant of Esau. Esau's son, Eliphaz, had the concubine Timnah, and to them was born Amalek. God tells us in Deuteronomy, the 25th chapter, verse 17, to remember. And when God says remember, he doesn't mean forget. One time he said, "Remember Lot's wife." One time he said, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." And on many occasions, God speaks and says, "Remember." And if God wants you to remember a man, then you remember this man. God says, "Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when ye came forth out of Egypt." We'll see what a wicked man he was. How he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Now remember, the children of Israel have been in Egyptian bondage for many years when Moses began to lead them out. And as they're coming out of Egypt's dark land, as they're making their journey toward the promised land, this wicked descendant of Esau by the name of Amalek sneaks up to them from behind, by the way. And those who are the most feeble, and those who are the weakest, and those who are faint and weary, Amalek destroys them. It is one thing for a soldier to be brave and be in the forefront of the battle and fight the strongest men. It's something else for an enemy to sneak up from behind on those who are weak and weary and feeble and faint and destroy them by the way. That's what kind of man Amalek was. And the Lord says that he feared not God. Therefore, it shall be, verse 19, when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, and thou shalt not forget it. And other scriptures that I could turn to tell us that the children of Israel were to completely destroy all of the Amalekites. And for years and years and years, your critics have said there have been no such people as the Amalekites. And less than 3 months ago, archaeologists and geologists found a city in that distant land that confirmed the existence of the Amalekites. And when geologists and when archaeologists deny any part of the Word of God, you wait a little longer and you will find them to be wrong and the Bible true. Amen. So the Amalekites have been confirmed to have actually existed, though the critics said no. So Amalek, in verse 8, comes on the scene and fights with Israel in Rephidim. Remember now, Moses' heart has been wearied and broken because of the murmuring and the complaining of the people. The miracle has been performed in that Moses smote the rock and they drank the water. And now comes one of the chief enemies, Amalek. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." Now let me talk first to you men. All through the scriptures, God's ordained means of bringing glory to His name is that men lead the way. Do you believe that? And if we could have a revival meeting among the fathers and the husbands of the United States of America in their responsibility toward God and their children and the house of God, we'd see something that would cause the unsaved to sit up and take notice that God is still on His throne. So you choose some men. Don't get any sissies. You get some men, and we'll go out and fight Amalek. And tomorrow, I will be standing up on top of the mountain, and I'll have the rod of God in mine hand. The rod of God was emblematical of the power of God that had been manifested in Moses' life so many times. And the rod of God that the preacher has today is not some physical rod that he holds in his hand, but the rod of God the preacher has today is the Word of God. Moses said, "Tomorrow I will stand on the mountain, the top of the hill, and I'll have God's rod in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Joshua is a brave warrior. Joshua is a faithful servant. He does not argue with Moses. He knows that Moses is in the position of leadership. He knows that he's to do what Moses says to. And Joshua faithfully obeys what Moses said because Moses has been directed of God. And as Moses starts to the top of the hill, there is with him Hur, H-U-R. There is with him Aaron, A-A-R-O-N. And it came to pass, now listen to this, as Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. That mean anything to you? That mean anything to you? I'll go to the top of a hill. You stay here and fight Amalek. I'll hold up the rod of God, Aaron, and Hur will be with me. And every time Moses held the rod up, Joshua prevailed. Every time Moses lowered the rod, this wicked, evil Amalek prevailed. And let me digress long enough here to say that we ought to know who our enemy is. And if you don't know, I'll tell you. And I can tell you with three letters, or three words that began with the same letter. Our enemies are number one, Satan, number two, sin, and number three, self. And everybody ought to say amen to that. Our enemies are Satan, sin, and self. Moses holds up the rod. Joshua and Israel prevail. When he lowers the rod, Amalek prevails. Verse 12. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat there. Now, some of you won't believe this, but it's the truth. In the Marine Corps, I've seen some Marine make one little error, and the drill instructor tell him to hold his piece or his rifle in front of him like this. And I've seen him come along and knock their arms back up. And I've actually seen them faint when they couldn't hold it any longer. Get you a book, any size book, little old book, to see how long you can hold it. Let's see how long you can hold it. Moses' hands were heavy. They took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon. And Abram and Hur stayed up on the one side, and the other on the other side, until his hands were steady, until the going down of the sun. A church, you might know what I'm talking to you about this morning, so I'm going to tell you. I'm talking to you about Tabernacle Baptist Church. I'm talking to you about your anointed leader. I'm going to tell you I'm a much weaker man than Moses. I'm going to tell you this, if my hands get weary. And you've got to hold them up. Now, if you don't get that message, then your heart's cold. No preacher can do it by himself. So Moses' hands got weary and they would fall. They got him a stone to sit on, and he sat on the stone, and on one side of him stood Hur holding up his hand. And on the other side stood Aaron holding up his hands, and they held up his hands until they were steady, until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehoram-Nissus, for he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. God says through Moses, I am not going to put up with Amalek. From generation to generation, there will be war until the Amalekites are put out of existence forever. Now this in conclusion. They held up his hands until the going down of the sun. And Joshua was victorious and prevailed because Aaron and Hur held up Moses' hands. Now, you don't know when your son's going down. I don't know when my son is going down. I don't know when the Lord is going to let the sun down on this age of grace in which we're living. But I do know this, that none of us have much longer to work for the Lord, because as sure as I stand in this sacred pulpit, there does not remain one verse of Scripture to be fulfilled before Jesus could come the second time. So what we do, we must do it quickly. And we must do it for the honor and for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my plea to you as a church this morning is to get under the load, to fight Amalek, to hold up Moses' hands, and let's see Joshua have the victory. Let's sing, Bob.
Number 99.
May we stand together, please.